from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Singled up on the outside to the left here.
Wentz for the end zone. Open touchdown! Jahan Dotson! Third down, 8. Big test for the young Jacksonville defense. They do bring extra pressure, and Wentz is protected for the end zone. And Dotson, he holds it in! It's a touchdown, Commanders!
That was Jahan Dotson's first game, and it was probably one of his best games. It was his only 2-touchdown reception game of his brief career here in Washington. And that last one came with a minute 46 left in the 2022 season opener against Jacksonville for the win that day. Remember that game? That was the first ever game also as the Commanders. Good morning, everybody. On that day, he looked like the real deal. It never got a lot better. The reaction to the trading of Jahan Dotson yesterday was all over the place. It was passionate, for sure, regardless of which side you were on. I don't think anybody would say that it was a shocker. Something just didn't click and wasn't clicking between Dotson and the new coaching staff. And they clearly had no issue in moving on from him, given that they traded him within the division. This from my guy, Seth. It seems to me, Kevin, that they knew he wasn't a part of their plan. Why didn't they trade him earlier before it became, as you called it, a situation in training camp? If they had interest in Ayuk around draft time, they could have thrown him into the deal. A first-round pick from 2 years ago, and all they got back was a third-rounder. Thank you, Seth. That was part of the reaction even on the show yesterday. I think my first reaction was, I think they did pretty well. I thought, you know, the essentially netting it out a third-round pick was pretty good for a guy who really had not produced as a first-round pick 2 years ago. The team clearly wanted to move him because he was not in their top three. And he was a guy that they, for whatever reason, and I think there's probably a lot of reasons, and they're more, you know, dealing with personality than actual talent. They didn't want him as a part of the wide receiver room. To get a third back was pretty good. You know, Denton, after the show, I was actually looking for, you know, one of those, you know, ESPN or CBS Sports or NFL.com grading of the trade, you know, stories. And ESPN had one late yesterday afternoon, Seth Walder and Ben Solak. We had Ben on the show about a week and a half ago. They basically gave Washington an A- and Philadelphia a B- on the trade, and they wrote, "This is a nice trade for the Commanders. It's soured a bit by a wasted first-round pick. It's never good when the number 16 overall pick gets traded away two seasons later for a middle-round selection, but Washington was clearly moving on from Dotson, who was losing snaps in its wide receiver rotation, to get a third-round selection from Philadelphia for a player who is not a big part of your future plans is objectively a win." I would also just throw this in there, you know, because we have memories of being fleeced by Philadelphia. The most notable, of course, was the Donovan McNabb trade, where anybody that was paying attention to the NFL at that point knew that Andy Reid wouldn't trade Donovan McNabb within the division if he felt Donovan McNabb had a lot left. But, you know, Dopey, our owner, and the, you know, the quasi-administrative GM, Bruce, you know, they didn't think of things that way. And I wonder whether or not Philadelphia is a little bit too high on itself right now with Howie Roseman thinking that everything that Howie Roseman does works, which isn't true, but most of what he's done over the last decade has worked. I wonder if there's anybody in Philadelphia wondering why Adam Peters would trade a receiver who was a first-round pick 2 years ago within the division for a third-round pick. Look, it's very possible that even Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury believe that Jahan Dotson's got a lot of talent and it might end up flourishing. He might end up flourishing somewhere else. But they didn't feel it was going to work here with what they wanted from their wide receivers, from what they want from their wide receiver room, which actually Cliff Kingsbury talked about yesterday, and we'll play some of what Cliff Kingsbury said yesterday, including a pretty interesting comment he made about Kaz Allen. You'll hear that coming up shortly. But it's very possible, you know, lots of times when teams trade players, they think there's a chance that player in a completely different environment can thrive, but not in their environment. Whether it's from, you know, a personality mix standpoint or a scheme fit, and that's okay. You know, if it's not going to work for you, you don't think it'll ever work for you, well, you move on, and you move on at the best price that you can move on from. Nikki Javala, among others, reported yesterday that there were multiple teams interested in Jahan. So you would have to think that Philadelphia's price was the best offered, because you're not going to trade him within the division unless that price is the best price. You know, getting the third rounder and the 2 7th rounders back from Philadelphia for Jahan and a fifth rounder. I think they did fine with the trade. And, you know, at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Jahan Dotson can't have a resurrection of his very early brief career in Philadelphia with a different coordinator, with a different locker room, with a different quarterback, etc. Because it's possible. He's got a lot of talent. He can really fly. He's got excellent route running ability. For his size, he's got tremendous, you know, catch radius. We've seen some of it here and there. But they didn't want it. So, Seth, I think they did pretty well. I think, you know, if they knew it at the time of the draft and there was an opportunity to include him in a trade to the 49ers with, say, a, you know, third round pick or a second round pick to get Ayuk, then I would suggest that they whiffed badly on that. But I don't think, and I have no information that would lead me to believe that that trade was available. So anyway, and who's to say the 49ers really wanted him or anybody else really wanted him? There were people interested in trading for him now, but nobody was probably willing to match what Philly gave up, which was essentially the net of, you know, a net of a third round pick. So look, I think we look at the receiver room right now and we say it's not good enough. You know, it's not good enough for a young quarterback. You got to give him more than just De'Ami Brown and Olamide Zaccheaus and potentially Luke McCaffrey and somebody else in his first season, because they can take Terry out. Good defenses, good defensive coordinators can take Terry out of the equation. So I've thought about this a little bit from the end of the show yesterday, and we talked a lot about it yesterday on the show, but I think a couple of things that are in play here. Number one, they may not be done yet. That's number one. And that doesn't mean big name, T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, Amari Cooper. Cooper, by the way, would not be the move at 30 years old. You know, if you are going to make a big trade for a wide receiver, you're going to do it with the idea that this receiver is just entering his prime and that this year isn't the year necessarily you're going to contend with that receiver and quarterback, but perhaps next year or the year after. And you want that player still in their mid to late 20s at that point, not in their, you know, early to mid 30s. At this point. But they may not be done, number one. And that also could include on Tuesday receivers that they think will be available and that they'll have second bids on based on the waiver wire order. They have the second choice to claim a player off waivers. It's also possible that they really like their wide receiver room. Do you know what Houston's wide receiver room was ranked last year by Pro Football Focus before the season began? It was ranked, Denton, 32nd in the league. 32nd. You know how many catches Nico Collins had before last year where he caught 80 balls for 1,297 yards and 8 touchdowns and averaged 16.2 yards per reception? He had not caught more than 37 balls in a season. Tank Dell wasn't on the roster last year. Their wide receiver room was ranked 32nd by Pro Football Focus going into the 2023 season. You just don't know, especially when the quarterback changes and the coordinator and the scheme change. Maybe they love their wide receiver room right now. And we're about to get Diami Brown at his best because he totally fits the scheme. And they've been, you know, playing it kind of low on Luke McCaffrey because they absolutely love him and he's going to be a big part of the season opener. And Zaccheaus is a guy that blocks and digs out safeties, as Jay Gruden would say, and is high IQ. And oh, by the way, Kaz Allen plays like, you know, one of the true stars in the NFL. I won't tell you who that is if you haven't heard what Cliff Kingsbury said, but we'll play that for you coming up here in the first hour of the show. So it's very possible they like their wide receiver room, and they might be looking to add something next week. Maybe they're not. It's also possible that the attack that they're planning here in the first year will include a lot of two tight ends and two running backs. You know, there maybe even three tight ends. You might see Ertz, Sinnott, and Bates all on the field at the same time. Now, I would just suggest that when you've seen Baltimore and San Francisco and other teams go heavy, especially Baltimore with a dual threat quarterback, that those teams have fullbacks. Washington does not have a fullback on its roster. So now it could be that Bates lines up as a fullback or Sinnott lines up as an H-back or something like that. But it's very possible that some of what they'll end up running doesn't require a lot of wide receivers. And that's a big part of the plan this year. Is they've got a quarterback and dual threat running attack is going to be a big part of what they do. I would think that that's probably not the case, that we're not going to see pistol right from the jump and three tight ends and one wide receiver and or two tight ends, two backs. Because typically, again, if you're going to go that way, you're going to have a fullback. You know, remember, even, you know, going back to 2012, you know, Washington had Washington had a fullback on the roster in 2012. They had Darrell Young, who was a part of what they were running and the Shanahans were running with RG3 in his rookie year. And there's no fullback on this roster, so that would be more of a hint of what they're going to try to do in the running game. But they may see Bates as that guy. So it's possible that they may like their room, and they may have a different offensive scheme that doesn't require a lot of receivers. And, you know, this isn't something that's that big of a deal to them, that they're not sweating it. They've been looking to do this for a while, and they finally got a deal. It's also more likely than not, Seth, based on your email, that they were hoping it would work out with Jahan, that he's got a lot of talent, that they watched him on tape, and they were hoping that they could get it to work. One other quick thing, because I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he said, had you heard anything about Dotson being an issue with the last staff? The answer to that is no. And I'd be surprised if anybody heard anything to that degree. I'm not suggesting that it's wrong or that it wasn't the case, but there really wasn't much about Jahan in general. And last year, let's not, you know, kid ourselves. It was dysfunctional for all of the receivers. I don't think Terry was very happy with what was happening last year. I don't think Jahan was very happy. I don't think anybody wanted to rerun that from last year. You know, you ask those guys, Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin, Diami, about whether or not they would have wanted to run it back with EB this year, inject him with truth serum, that answer would have been a quick, absolutely not. And so it's hard to kind of judge last year's Jahan, but no, it really didn't. I would also say, I would bet you any amount of money that Terry McLaurin was consulted on this. When I say consultant, he was asked about this, and I have no idea what the answer was, but given that they traded Jahan, you know, it probably wasn't, well, we desperately need him. I'm looking forward to this. I do have a lot of benefit of the doubt right now. There's no reason for me not to have it when it comes to Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury. They're the pros. They've been the ones that have been dealing with all of these guys in the meeting rooms, in practices. You know, we've heard for a while now, you know, subtle, but reading between the lines. They want hustle. They want relentless, motored guys. They want guys that are going to, you know, once the ball is caught, be looking to take somebody out to create an even bigger play with yards after catch. And it was pretty clear that they didn't feel that Jahan fit in to that kind of a wide receiver room. By the way, the other part of this, too, is just from the Philadelphia angle. In addition to the idea that, you know, I wonder if anybody in Philly media or Philly in the Philly fan base is saying, okay, we got our third wide receiver, but why would a team in our division deal him to us? Why would they do that? Same thing that some of us said the night of the Donovan McNabb trade, Easter Sunday 2010. Why would Andy Reid trade Donovan McNabb to a team that he's got to face twice a year and that he's got to compete for a division? Well, the answer was because he clearly thought Donovan was done, which he was. It's the only time, by the way, I think I've told this story before. It's the only time I got in trouble for being critical of the team. And I say I got in trouble. It's the only time I got a call from basically the big guy. I didn't get it directly, but I got it from our CEO at the time, who called me at home Easter Sunday night 2010 after I was asked to go on ESPN News Denton to comment on the trade. And I said on the air, look, it seems like there are a lot of our fans that are very excited, but I wonder why the hell Andy Reid would trade Donovan McNabb to a team in the division. To me, this has red flags all over it. And I was called at home Easter night to find out what I had said and why I had said it. It's the only time. You know, we got accused all the time of, oh, you can't be critical. We were so critical. Most of you know that. You know, they're not going to allow it. It's, you know, teams owned by Red Zebra, which Snyder is the majority shareholder of. That was the only time. That and the time that Jake, as in Joe Jacoby, you know, was overserved during one of our post-game shows and went off on Snyder at the end of our post-game show. That was interesting. He didn't get a call from Dan, but he did get a call from Joe. Gibbs, telling him he had to apologize. All right. Cliff Kingsbury yesterday was really, he didn't give you a lot on Jahan. There are a couple of subtle answers where you can kind of understand what it was with Jahan in the same way you could with Quinn. But man, he said something about Kaz Allen that you have to hear. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the Team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Singled up on the outside to the left here.
Lentz for the end zone. Oh, a touchdown! Jahan Dotson! Third down, 8. Big test for the young Jacksonville defense. They do bring extra pressure, and Wentz is protected for the end zone. And Dotson, he holds it in!
That was Jahan Dotson's first game, and it was probably one of his best games. It was his only 2-touchdown reception game of his brief career here in Washington. And that last one came with a minute 46 left in the 2022 season opener against Jacksonville for the win that day. Remember that game? That was the first ever game also as the Commanders. Good morning, everybody. On that day, he looked like the real deal. It never got a lot better. The reaction to the trading of Jahan Dotson yesterday was all over the place. It was passionate, for sure, regardless of which side you were on. I don't think anybody would say that it was a shocker. Something just didn't click and wasn't clicking between Dotson and the new coaching staff. And they clearly had no issue in moving on from him, given that they traded him within the division. This from my guy, Seth. It seems to me, Kevin, that they knew he wasn't a part of their plan. Why didn't they trade him earlier before it became, as you called it, a situation in training camp? If they had interest in Ayuk around draft time, they could have thrown him into the deal. A first-round pick from 2 years ago, and all they got back was a third-rounder. Thank you, Seth. That was part of the reaction even on the show yesterday. I think my first reaction was, I think they did pretty well. I thought, it's essentially netting it out, a third-round pick was pretty good for a guy who really had not produced as a first-round pick 2 years ago. The team clearly wanted to move him because he was not in their top three. And he was a guy that they, for whatever reason, and I think there's probably a lot of reasons, and they're more, dealing with personality than actual talent, They didn't want him as a part of the wide receiver room. To get a third back was pretty good. You know, Denton, after the show, I was actually looking for, you know, one of those, you know, ESPN or CBS Sports or NFL.com grading of the trade, you know, stories. And ESPN had one yesterday afternoon, late yesterday afternoon, Seth Walder and Ben Solak. We had Ben on the show about a week and a half ago. They basically gave Washington an A- and Philadelphia a B- on the trade, and they wrote, "This is a nice trade for the Commanders. It's soured a bit by a wasted first-round pick. It's never good when the number 16 overall pick gets traded away two seasons later for a middle-round selection, but Washington was clearly moving on from Dotson, who was losing snaps in its wide receiver rotation, to get a third-round selection from Philadelphia for a player who is not a big part of your future plans is objectively a win." I would also just throw this in there, you know, because we have memories of being fleeced by Philadelphia. The most notable, of course, was the Donovan McNabb trade, where anybody that was paying attention to the NFL at that point knew that Andy Reid wouldn't trade Donovan McNabb within the division if he felt Donovan McNabb had a lot left. But, you know, Dopey, our owner, and the, you know, the quasi-administrative GM, Bruce, you know, they didn't think of things that way. And I wonder whether or not Philadelphia is a little bit too high on itself right now with Howie Roseman, thinking that everything that Howie Roseman does works, which isn't true, but most of what he's done over the last decade has worked. I wonder if there's anybody in Philadelphia wondering why Adam Peters would trade a receiver who was a first-round pick 2 years ago within the division for a third-round pick. Look, it's very possible that even Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury believe that Jahan Dotson's got a lot of talent and it might end up flourishing. He might end up flourishing somewhere else. But they didn't feel it was going to work here with what they wanted from their wide receivers, from what they want from their wide receiver room, which actually Cliff Kingsbury talked about yesterday, and we'll play some of what Cliff Kingsbury said yesterday, including a pretty interesting comment he made about Kaz Allen. You'll hear that coming up shortly. But it's very possible, you know, lots of times when teams trade players, they think there's a chance that player in a completely different environment can thrive, but not in their environment. Whether it's from, you know, a personality mix standpoint or a scheme fit, and that's okay. You know, if it's not going to work for you, you don't think it'll ever work for you, well, you move on, and you move on at the best price that you can move on from. Nikki Javala, among others, reported yesterday that there were multiple teams interested in Jahan. So you would have to think that Philadelphia's price was the best offered, because you're not going to trade him within the division unless that price is the best price. You know, getting the third rounder and the 2 7th rounders back from Philadelphia for Jahan and a fifth rounder. I think they did fine with the trade. And, you know, at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Jahan Dotson can't have a resurrection of his very early brief career in Philadelphia with a different coordinator, with a different locker room, with a different quarterback, etc. Because it's possible. He's got a lot of talent. He can really fly. He's got excellent route running ability. For his size, he's got tremendous, you know, catch radius. We've seen some of it here and there. But they didn't want it. So, Seth, I think they did pretty well. I think, you know, if they knew it at the time of the draft and there was an opportunity to include him in a trade to the 49ers with, say, a, you know, third round pick or a second round pick to get Ayuk, then I would suggest that they whiffed badly on that. But I don't think, and I have no information that would lead me to believe that that trade was available. So anyway, and who's to say the 49ers really wanted him, or anybody else really wanted him? There were people interested in trading for him now, but nobody was probably willing to match what Philly gave up, which was essentially the net of, you know, a net of a third round pick. So, look, I think we look at the receiver room right now, and we say it's not good enough. You know, it's not good enough for a young quarterback. You got to give him more than just De'Ami Brown and Olamide Zaccheaus and potentially Luke McCaffrey and somebody else in his first season, because they can take Terry out. Good defenses, good defensive coordinators can take Terry out of the equation. So I've thought about this a little bit from the end of the show yesterday, and we talked a lot about it yesterday on the show, but I think a couple of things that are in play here. Number one, they may not be done yet. That's number one. And that doesn't mean big name, T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, Amari Cooper. Cooper, by the way, would not be the move at 30 years old. You know, if you are going to make a big trade for a wide receiver, you're going to do it with the idea that this receiver is just entering his prime and that this year isn't the year necessarily you're going to contend with that receiver and quarterback, but perhaps next year or the year after. And you want that player still in their mid to late 20s at that point, not in their, you know, early to mid 30s at this point. But they may not be done, number one. And that also could include on Tuesday receivers that they think will be available and that they'll have second bids on based on the waiver wire order. They have the second choice to claim a player off waivers. It's also possible that they really like their wide receiver room. Do you know what Houston's wide receiver room was ranked last year by Pro Football Focus before the season began? It was ranked, Denton, 32nd in the league. 32nd. You know how many catches Nico Collins had before last year, where he caught 80 balls for 1,297 yards and 8 touchdowns and averaged 16.2 yards per reception? He had not caught more than 37 balls in a season. Tank Dell wasn't on the roster last year. Their wide receiver room was ranked 32nd by Pro Football Focus going into the 2023 season. You just don't know, especially when the quarterback changes and the coordinator and the scheme change. Maybe they love their wide receiver room right now, and we're about to get De'Ami Brown at his best because he totally fits the scheme. And they've been, you know, playing it kind of low on Luke McCaffrey because they absolutely love him, and he's going to be a big part of the season opener. And Zaccheaus is a guy that blocks and digs out safeties, as Jay Gruden would say, and is high IQ. And oh, by the way, Kaz Allen plays like, you know, one of the true stars in the NFL. I won't tell you who that is if you haven't heard what Cliff Kingsbury said, but we'll play that for you coming up here in the first hour of the show. So it's very possible they like their wide receiver room, and they might be looking to add something next week. Maybe they're not. It's also possible that the attack that they're planning here in the first year will include a lot of two tight ends and two running backs. You know, there maybe even three tight ends. You might see Ertz, Sinnott, and Bates all on the field at the same time. Now, I would just suggest that when you've seen Baltimore and San Francisco and other teams go heavy, especially Baltimore with a dual-threat quarterback, that those teams have fullbacks. Washington does not have a fullback on its roster. So now it could be that Bates lines up as a fullback or Sinnott lines up as an H-back or something like that. But it's very possible that some of what they'll end up running doesn't require a lot of wide receivers. And that's a big part of the plan this year, is they've got a quarterback and dual threat. Running attack is going to be a big part of what they do. I would think that that's probably not the case, that we're not going to see pistol right from the jump and three tight ends and one wide receiver and or two tight ends, two backs. Because typically, again, if you're going to go that way, you're going to have a fullback. You know, remember, even, you know, going back to 2012, you know, Washington had Washington had a fullback on the roster in 2012. They had Darrell Young, who was a part of what they were running and the Shanahans were running with RG3 in his rookie year. And there's no fullback on this roster, so that would be more of a hint of what they're going to try to do in the running game. But they may see Bates as that guy. So it's possible that they may like their room, and they may have a different offensive scheme that doesn't require a lot of receivers. And, you know, this isn't something that's that big of a deal to them, that they're not sweating it. They've been looking to do this for a while, and they finally got a deal. It's also more likely than not, Seth, based on your email, that they were hoping it would work out with Jahan, that he's got a lot of talent, that they watched him on tape, and they were hoping that they could get it to work. One other quick thing, because I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he said, had you heard anything about Dotson being an issue with the last staff? The answer to that is no. And I'd be surprised if anybody heard anything to that degree. I'm not suggesting that it's wrong or that it wasn't the case, but there really wasn't much about Jahan in general. And last year, let's not, you know, kid ourselves. It was dysfunctional for all of the receivers. I don't think Terry was very happy with what was happening last year. I don't think Jahan was very happy. I don't think anybody wanted to rerun that from last year. You know, you ask those guys, Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin, Diami, about whether or not they would have wanted to run it back with EB this year. Inject him with truth serum, that answer would have been a quick absolutely not. And so it's hard to kind of judge last year's Jahan, but no, it really didn't. I would also say I would bet you any amount of money that Terry McLaurin was consulted on this. When I say consultant, he was asked about this, and I have no idea what the answer was, but given that they traded Jahan, you know, it probably wasn't, well, we desperately need him. I'm looking forward to this. I do have a lot of benefit of the doubt right now. There's no reason for me not to have it when it comes to Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury. They're the pros. They've been the ones that have been dealing with all of these guys in the meeting rooms, in practices. You know, we've heard for a while now, you know, subtle, but reading between the lines, they want hustle. They want relentless, motored guys. They want guys that are going to, you know, once the ball is caught, be looking to take somebody out to create an even bigger play with yards after catch. And it was pretty clear that they didn't feel that Jahan fit in to that kind of a wide receiver room. By the way, the other part of this, too, is just from the Philadelphia angle. In addition to the idea that, you know, I wonder if anybody in Philly media or Philly in the Philly fan base is saying, okay, we got our third wide receiver, but why would a team in our division deal him to us? Why would they do that? Same thing that some of us said the night of the Donovan McNabb trade, Easter Sunday 2010. Why would Andy Reid trade Donovan McNabb to a team that he's got to face twice a year and that he's got to compete for a division? Well, the answer was because he clearly thought Donovan was done, which he was. It's the only time, by the way, I think I've told this story before. It's the only time I got in trouble for being critical of the team. And I say I got in trouble. It's the only time I got a call from basically the big guy. I didn't get it directly, but I got it from our CEO at the time, who called me at home Easter Sunday night 2010 after I was asked to go on ESPN News Denton to comment on the trade. And I said on the air, look, it seems like there are a lot of our fans that are very excited, but I wonder why the hell Andy Reid would trade Donovan McNabb to a team in the division. To me, this has red flags all over it. And I was called at home Easter night to find out what I had said and why I had said it. It's the only time. You know, we got accused all the time of, oh, you can't be critical. We were so critical. Most of you know that. You know, they're not going to allow it. It's, you know, teams owned by Red Zebra, which Snyder is the majority shareholder of. That was the only time. That and the time that Jake, as in Joe Jacoby, you know, was overserved during one of our post-game shows and went off on Snyder at the end of our post-game show. That was interesting. He didn't get a call from Dan, but he did get a call from Joe Gibbs telling him he had to apologize. All right. Cliff Kingsbury yesterday was really, he didn't give you a lot on Jahan. There are a couple of subtle answers where you can kind of understand what it was with Jahan in the same way you could with Quinn. But man, he said something about Kaz Allen that you have to hear. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.